Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Welcome in to this Monday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Jack Kerwin in for Al Martin once again. Al will be back for tomorrow's edition of Current Sports. But for today, I got Connor Mathis behind the glass with me, and we're going to talk a lot of football. You know, kind of been par for the course the last several days. Week zero over the weekend, and you know, no real big news in the NFL, obviously, because games haven't gotten underway yet or anything. Oh, wait, Andrew Luck, arguably a top five quarterback, absolutely a top five quarterback in the NFL right now, in my opinion, surprisingly announced his retirement over the weekend, citing, you know, several injuries that he's battled going back the last several years. He's been rehabbing, I believe, every year since 2016 now. So Andrew Luck is hanging it up for good. We'll see. But for now, he has no intentions on playing this season. Jacoby Brissett has now been pushed into the starter role in Indianapolis. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. Connor's going to give you his thoughts on it. And away we go. And we'd love to hear from you as well. The phone number is 517-355-9527. That's 517-355-WKAR. So we're going to break down just, you know, first our pure reaction to the surprise announcement from Andrew Luck that broke Saturday night during the first week zero game, the first college football game of the year. I don't know about you, Connor, but I was tuned into that horrendous display we saw between the Florida Gators and the Miami Hurricanes. That was like the worst football game ever.
What, you don't like just pure chaos on a football field?
You know, I really thought watching, I think the only time I'd watched Felipe Franks last year when he turned the corner the last four games when his average QBR was like 80 instead of 45, I think the only game I'd watched him against was Michigan, you know, in the bowl game. Because, I mean, I went back and I watched that game, and to me, Felipe Franks looked pretty sharp, and it looked like he'd maybe turned a corner as a quarterback. But I guess now the bigger story of that game is Michigan just puked all over themselves, and Felipe Franks took advantage of it because he pretty much looks like the quarterback I saw in big-time moments in the SEC last year where he was just a turnover machine.
He looked like he was trying to give Miami that game.
He's awful.
First off, that play at the end of the game to throw when you can run on the clock, we can question play calling, but my good triple coverage. I mean, come on, that's like what I do in Madden if I'm down by seven and just need something to happen. Come on now. Can't be making that play. He looked, if I'm a Florida fan, I'm not too comfortable with him being the starting quarterback. He looks like Jay Cutler.
Two variations of the read option where he turned the ball over twice, dropping the ball inside the 10 and then pitching it to a running back who's not even looking at him. Both resulted in turnovers. That was terrible.
He was not good. I saw a couple of tweets of people kind of backing him. And then, of course, during the game, he goes to the ESPN camera and just kind of flexing like, dude, you haven't even won the game yet. And then, of course, you know, the next drive is when he throws the pick.
He really was feeling himself after he'd make an occasional big play in that game. You're absolutely right about that. But you know what? It felt like a loss to me only because I went on the air and I picked Florida to cover on Friday. And I told my friend who was looking for a winner in that game that I thought Florida was going to cover. He didn't bet it, thankfully, because I guess that would have been on me in a sense. But, you know, the fact that Florida didn't cover that -7.5 is absolutely wild. Because, I mean, you have one turnover in the red zone, obviously, right, where Felipe Franks drops the ball on the 10-yard line. You have another one in positive territory. They turn the ball over four times as a whole. And, I mean, Miami didn't want to win that game. Granted, Florida didn't want to win it either. But, I mean, both teams were trying their best to throw the game away.
Miami, at least, it felt like you could give them the excuse that they're a young team with a first-year head coach, with a first-time QB. So you can at least give them a little bit of an excuse of, like, well, this team's brand spanking new, pretty much. They got to grow into the, you know, they got to grow into their shoes a bit. But I can't give that same little handicap to Florida because Florida's ranked in the top 10, and Dan Mullen is being touted as the savior of Florida football. So at least Miami, I could defend a little bit.
You know, as it pertains to Miami, what does it say about Tate Martell that Miami trotted out that guy? What's his name? Jaren Williams, and he struggled all game.
Well, no, I thought he had a decent first half. I thought in the second half he looked the part of first time quarterback.
He had a decent first half when Dan Enos was sheltering him, and he basically didn't throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do with a first year quarterback? I mean, after beating out a QB battle, so it doesn't surprise me too much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can understand that. I can live with that,
especially in week zero.
I mean, they weren't going down the field at all, so I mean, it was a lot of wide receiver screens and bubble screens behind the line of scrimmage. So it was hard for me to take too much away from Jaren Williams from a positive standpoint, other than he really didn't seem like he was able to move the ball to me. But you know what? That's in the past now. That game is in the past. We have better games to look forward to this weekend where some teams can hopefully actually tackle each other and we won't see such a horrific display on both sides of the ball. But we're going to break down the Andrew Luck retirement for you initially, and then we're going to kind of broaden the discussion a little bit to talk about what it means for the Indianapolis Colts at large this season. You know, whether or not their season is completely over with the Andrew Luck retirement. Because for me, prior to this, I had the Colts as my favorite to win that division. You know, I thought there were probably two playoff teams in that division. Wouldn't surprise me if Deshaun Watson grabbed the wild card spot for the Texans. But now to me, I think this changes everything, obviously. And then to cap off the show at the end of the hour, we're going to give you our college football playoff predictions and what we think is on the horizon for MSU. So if you got any thoughts, want to chime in on any of these, please give us a call at 517-355-WKAR. That is 517-355-9527. But for now, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we kick the headliners off with some Week Zero college football. The 2019 season has kicked off. Yes, kicked off on Saturday night in the first game of the 150th year of college football. How about that? The 150th year of college football and the 100th year of NFL football. Wild. But anyway, 150th year of college football kicked off between number 8 Florida and unranked Miami. It was as messy as one might expect for a Week Zero matchup. Ultimately, despite a turnover-filled game and penalty-heavy second half, the Florida Gators managed to top the Miami Hurricanes 24-20 by outscoring their in-state rivals 17-7 in the second half. Later that night, and this game was absolutely electric to watch, I hope you tuned in, Hawaii beat Arizona in thrilling fashion on the final play of the game with the Wildcats down a touchdown. In the final seconds in regulation ticking away, Arizona quarterback Khalil Tate was stopped at the Hawaii one-yard line, about 2.5 feet from a potential game-tying touchdown, securing the 45-38 win for Hawaii at Aloha Stadium. If I'm not mistaken, Hawaii turned the ball over 6 times in this game.
Yeah, it was messy. It was messy for them, but you know, that's Hawaii football.
It was absolutely thrilling to watch. And did Hawaii punt at all? 45 points and 6 turnovers. I would be kind of surprised if they punted, Connor.
I'll give it a look.
Because I mean, that's 14 drives right there. You got 8 scoring drives, right? Or 7 scoring drives? No, 7 scoring drives. Excuse me. And 6 turnovers. That's 13 drives right there. Would they have even punted?
Not
wild.
Sure.
It's wild. I'll tell you what. Watching that last play with Khalil Tate where he's rolling out to his right, I was thinking he was absolutely crazy to run the ball because there was no way he was going to get in the end zone from 35 yards away. He got down to the 1-yard line. That was insane.
And he was only chased down by a defensive tackle who kept on hustling after he was burned. He kept on running and didn't stop, and the defensive tackle was the one who made the save.
It wasn't someone in the end zone?
No, it was a defensive tackle. I thought it was someone in the end zone. A defensive tackle. After he turned the corner, you see the defensive tackle turn around and start running after him, and he doesn't stop running, and everyone else kind of parts, and the defensive tackle is the one who makes the save.
That's what you love to see if you're a coach, 100% effort, right? All right, moving on to the NFL. In the most shocking development of the NFL offseason, Indianapolis Colts star quarterback Andrew Luck will retire from the NFL. Luck was seen on the sideline of the Colts' preseason game Saturday night where he was booed by Colts fans. He then confirmed the news reports during a post-game press conference. The injuries he battled throughout the past few seasons had simply taken too big a toll on his psyche, he said. I felt stuck, and the only way out of it is to no longer play football, Luck said. It's taken my joy away from the game. The one thing I will say, I guess I'll offer a little bit of an unpopular opinion as it pertains to the booing by the Colts fans. Obviously, that's a terrible look for, you know, those fans that partook in that and kind of for the city of Indianapolis as a whole. But I'm not going to be too critical of them just because I think it was such an emotional reaction that, you know, it's one thing when guys burn LeBron James's jersey when he goes to Miami, right? But it's another thing when, you know, the star quarterback who never played for another team, you know, kind of spurns the fans the night of and the news gets broken to them without all the facts being released. I think a lot of the people that booed Andrew Luck that night, the next day, if they were to find out, probably would have given him a standing ovation. So for me, I just think it was a little bit reactionary. I don't think that's necessarily representative of those fans. And I just think it was kind of a wrong place at the wrong time, if you will, incident for those fans. I guess that's where I'm at with it.
I mean, I understand fans are emotional. I have more thoughts on this when we actually get into the reaction. But, I mean, you still don't boo a guy. I mean, I get it's an emotional reaction, but it doesn't shock me. It's something that I kind of expect. I just, what I wish I would have seen more of from the other people breaking it down was kind of the same, where's this the same energy of, you know, when the Raptors fans cheer for Kevin Durant going down with an injury, or when Philadelphia fans do something like this, and immediately everyone's the morality police and kind of piles on him and says this is indicative of the whole fan base. They shouldn't be able to do this, that, and the other. They should be punished. I just want some consistency in that regard. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they booed him. I mean, it was a pure emotional response,
right? And the point I'm making is, to me, this isn't as garbage as, you know, fans burning Kevin Durant's jersey.
Fans burning LeBron James'
jersey.
I mean, you had the videos of them burning, but I mean, it's not the same level. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. All right, staying with the NFL, the Detroit Lions lost again in the preseason, this time to the Buffalo Bills, 24-20. Matthew Stafford started at quarterback, kind of answered some questions there after sitting out the first two preseason games. He finished 12 of 19 passing for 137 yards with an 11-yard TD pass to rookie running back Ty Johnson. Stafford finished with a 102.3 passer rating. Detroit led the game 10-7 before removing most of their starters on both sides of the ball late into the second quarter. Obviously, this game really could have been a disaster for the Detroit Lions, losing both Frank Ragnow and Jared Davis to injuries. They were both carted off the field. Some incredibly lucky and good news for the Lions in that neither appear to be really major injuries, and Patricia confirmed that they're both not season-ending, so neither will go on IR. It's still a loss in the short term because, at least for Jared Davis, he's not going to be ready for week one, from what I can tell. But, you know, Frank Ragnow, it seems like he'll make a recovery sooner rather than later, and we can hope the same for Davis as well because, you know, those are two of your three first-round picks the last three seasons, and, you know, they're being looked at to play big roles for the Lions this season. So good thing they hopefully won't be out for too long for this team. All right, sticking with the NFL once again, the NFL has made it clear that it doesn't want Antonio Brown wearing his old helmet this season. Yep, Connor Mathis in the background with the circus music, and, you know, I still don't understand Al's rationale that the Lions should have brought in Antonio Brown. I don't think it's worth the headache at this point, but I digress. The Oakland Raiders wide receiver lost his second grievance against the league on Sunday, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, and will not be allowed to wear his old helmet this season. Good news for AB, though. The wide receiver apparently has multiple offers from companies who want to create a custom helmet for him that passes NFL safety regulations, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. All right, for more than a decade, the United States maintained its dominance in international men's basketball. All of that changed Saturday when Team USA lost its first game since 2006 to Australia. The Boomers That's Australia's national basketball team name?
Yep.
Based on what, do we know? Why are they called the Boomers?
Eh.
No idea?
I feel like it has something to do with the... With the sound kangaroos make when they jump, but you know, with a lot of the international teams outside of like soccer, teams have nicknames. So obviously, the United States nickname is usually the Eagles, and you know, like teams like South Africa have the Springboks as a prominent animal there. So
Springboks?
Yeah, it's like a gazelle.
It's called a Springboks?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Springbok with a K.
Oh, Springbok. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I think I've heard of that. Okay. Well, the Boomers, ranked 11th by the International Basketball Federation, won its first game against number one ranked USA, beating them 98-94. The game was played at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne with a crowd of more than 52,000, the largest crowd to ever watch basketball in Australia. The U.S. had won 78 games straight in major international tournaments and exhibitions before Saturday's World Cup exhibition matchup. Does Kyrie Irving play for Australia?
No.
Does Matthew Dellavedova play for Australia?
I think so.
Okay. Are there any other NBA players on Team Australia?
Ben Simmons was going to play, but then he opted out.
Oh, that's right. He's Australian,
Patty
too.
Patty Mills is probably their best player on Australia. There's a couple other guys, mostly role players, though.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't really care about FIBA, but that's a little bit troubling that Team USA loses to Matthew Dellavedova and Patty Mills. But again, I don't really care about FIBA, so there we are. All right, continuing on, Major League Baseball, the Detroit Tigers, the woeful Tigers, followed the Lions' lead and lost again this time, falling 4-7 to the Minnesota Twins, I beg your pardon. Once again, Connor Mathis in the background. Let me look this up for you. The Detroit Tigers' record is now 39-471. Ah, I apologize. 39-89, they are 50 games below 500. I hope there's a good player at the top of the MLB draft this year. That's pretty much all I've got left to say. Because
that's all you
Tigers,
got to hope. That's all you got to hope for.
Pretty much. All righty. And then Michigan State opens as a 22.5-point favorite against Tulsa. Caesars Sportsbook lists the Spartans at -22.5 with the over-under being 47.5. MSU versus Tulsa kicks off Friday night at 7 p.m. So Vegas thinks the Michigan State Spartans are going to win by over 3 touchdowns. Does that mean they believe the offense is fixed?
I would say so, or they think that Tulsa's defense is, you know, a high school team.
What a spin zone here. I guess we'll have to break that down for you the rest of this week when Al's back in studio. Should be interesting to see. Me personally, the pessimist I am, having watched MSU offense the past couple of years, I would bet the house on Tulsa to cover. But, hey, we'll see. We'll see. A lot of people out there in the gambling industry in Vegas that know a hell of a lot more than me, so maybe I get no idea what I'm saying.
If Tulsa covers, I'll be physically ill.
Would you be surprised, though?
Yes.
You'd be surprised if Tulsa covers this.
Defense. Michigan State's
defense is
insane.
The game was tied against Utah State with 4 minutes left last year,
bro. Yeah, I know, but Utah State turned out to be better than we thought they were.
I understand.
And their quarterback's insane.
All right, I don't know about insane.
No, okay,
no.
He's good. His stock is rising for this year's draft.
His stock is rising for
this year's draft. I think he's going to be pretty good.
All right, Connor and I disagree on Utah State football. Please call up and give your thoughts. 517. No, I'm just kidding. But those wrap up your current sports quick hit headliners. You want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please give us a call at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Segment one up next, current sports.
Thank you.
Alrighty, and you hear the Cliffs of Dover instrumental in the background from Connor Mathis. What a change up there. What a call by you. I'm a fan.
Oh, you got to change up every so often.
I'm a fan. But anyway, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, Jack Kerwin in for Al Martin. Al will be back in for tomorrow's edition of Current Sports, but for now it is myself and Connor holding down the fort. And we're going to start this show, as probably every sports show in America has done so today and will do so the rest of the day. Andrew Luck retiring out of nowhere. Again, as I stated earlier, in my mind, he was absolutely a top five quarterback, absolutely is a top five quarterback in the game right now, and, you know, really just a stunning announcement from him. I don't think any of us saw this coming. Like, it never crossed my mind through all of Andrew Luck's rehab that he's done the last several years, and I believed last season he was finally healthy and he was gonna put a great season together, and he did that. And for me, the Colts were a dark horse Super Bowl pick again this season, just because, you know, what you've seen from the defense in recent years, the steps they've taken, and, you know, I believe Andrew Luck is such a tremendous talent, and he's got some help with T.Y. Hilton, obviously, and Marlon Mack in the backfield. You know, they have some weapons on this offense now. Eric Ebron obviously revitalizing his career. I will say, one of the funniest things about this news breaking was, did you see the Detroit Lion fans on Twitter heckling Eric Ebron because now he's got Jacoby Brissett throwing to him instead of Andrew Luck, and he's not going to be able to continue, put up the numbers he put up last season? Did you see that at all?
I didn't see that, but counter argument, because it's Jacoby Brissett, he's going to need a safety blanket, and hey, tight ends are usually the safety blanket.
Is it a good thing if your safety blanket has bricks for hands? Is that a good? Is that a good quality?
Last year,
oh, he still dropped passes, bro.
He dropped a couple.
Not like he did against. Not like he did for the Lions, but he still dropped passes. We'll see. We'll see what Eric Ebron does this season. But shifting back to Andrew Luck, yeah, absolutely stunning announcement. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Did you think it was the right move for Andrew Luck to hang it up? I guess. Do you think the Colts still have a shot without him? You know, kind of what your thoughts are, where you're at with Jacoby Brissett. I'll say, Connor, I don't think the Indianapolis Colts, and you and I talked when the news first broke. I think you sent me a text. I don't think the Colts are completely sunk without Andrew Luck. I still think Jacoby Brissett is a decent quarterback. I would say Jacoby Brissett's one of the few backup quarterbacks in the NFL that I would actually feel comfortable with holding down the fort if something happened to my quarterback. You know what I mean? So, for me, you know, I like, from the standpoint of Jacoby Brissett, I like that this kind of gives him an opportunity to show what he can do with this offense now that Andrew Luck is out.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, before we even get into what it means for the Colts, I want to point out, like, some of the injuries that Andrew Luck was dealing with when he retired. So over the course of his career, he's had torn cartilage and two ribs. He's partially torn his abdomen. He had a lacerated kidney. Which is probably the most severe of his injuries. Famously in the injury report left him peeing blood, which is just a horrifying thought. He has at least one concussion, one reported concussion. He had a torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, and then this offseason he had the ankle issue. So, you know, I can see where he said it, the game was starting to wear on him, or is wearing on his psyche, and it physically was wearing him down. I mean, those are some brutal, brutal injuries for any football player or any athlete in general. And then, you know, just seeing some of these clowns on Twitter and making these stupid statements, you know, like Doug Gottlieb's and Dan Dockich is saying, he quit on his team. I'm like, I'm sorry, but two failed college basketball players should not be talking anything about how tough a professional football player is. Give me a break. Give me a break.
No,
that was ridiculous.
I mean, that was good for humor. It was one of those things where, do you think Doug Gottlieb tweets that out just kind of for a reaction? You know what I mean?
I think Dan Dockich does, but I think Doug Gottlieb actually believes what he's saying. I think he believes he's the smartest dude in the room.
Yeah, but Dockich, at least
he has a history of, I'm playing this to get people pissed off and talking about me. But Gottlieb seems to just, when he puts out something that's remarkably stupid like that, it seems like he thinks he's the smartest one in the room. He knows the athlete.
Yeah, I mean, It's Doug Gottlieb, to me, I've just never really been able to take seriously. And then finding out that, what was it he did in college? He committed, like, credit card fraud. So, I mean.
As Torrey Smith, wide receiver for the New Orleans State, so eloquently spelled out. I mean, he was getting destroyed on Twitter.
I always just get a kick out of when someone brings that up because, I mean, I don't listen to Doug Gottlieb, honestly. But, I mean, whenever it gets referenced again, especially by someone like Torrey Smith, who's a former pro athlete. I mean,
he's still playing. He's on the Saints right now.
Is still playing.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
He was on the Panthers last year and the Saints picked him up. Saints are loaded this year.
Oh, why? Because they have 57-year-old Torrey Smith.
Oh no, cuz they got an amazing offense.
I mean,
he's just
do.
A nice compliment.
They do have an amazing offense, but I'm interested to see what Drew Brees does this year. I love Drew Brees. I hope he gets his second ring, but a lot of people are forecasting him to take a step back this season. I hope he doesn't, but we'll see what happens. Isn't he 40 this season? Drew Brees is 40 years old, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Where were you when you heard that the Andrew Luck... Where were you when you heard the Andrew Luck retirement news? Where were you?
Sitting down watching Florida-Miami.
Yeah,
so it popped up on my Twitter feed, and then it popped up on the thing. I'm like, oh, this is going to get bad.
Yep.
But, you know, I will, again, kind of like what we talked about in the headliners, I expect an emotional reaction from fans because, for better or worse, the vast majority of whether it be casual fans or hardcore fans of NFL or whatever sport are usually, you know, they don't have the full picture. It's an emotional thing to be a fan. So for some of them to boo and for some of them to call him out, I understand that. I get that from a fan perspective because, again, it's emotional. There's very little rationale in fandom. But to see media members, guys who know the other side of the sport, come out and say, well, he quit on his team and all these other things. And then to see, you know, another tweet that really just that was like, what are you doing was when Pro Football Talk a tweet out. They understand why they're booing is because they paid money to see Andrew Luck play this year, and now he's not going to play. I'm like, come on. Fans don't care about they're not going to see him this season. They care that he's gone. He's gone. Their franchise to them, it feels like their franchise quarterback has abandoned them. It has nothing to do with the season tickets and all that other garbage and. And I guess I don't understand people defending the Indianapolis fans more than they would other fandoms. I feel like if fandom boos someone wrongly, I think they should still be held up to the same, you know, morality fire, if you will.
Well, I mean, I was defending Indianapolis fans as opposed to some other fan bases just because I think it was purely reactionary here. I don't think there's really any bad blood between anyone and Andrew Luck, right? So I think that's kind of what separates it. You know, there's bad blood between, you know, certain Cleveland fans or certain Miami fans and LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's bad blood with anyone.
I get that. More of what I'm speaking to is like the people who anytime the Philadelphia Eagles are probably the prime example of this. Anytime something happens there, whether it be emotional or whatever, it's immediately, oh, there goes Philadelphia again.
Yeah,
they're just a garbage fan base. It's a garbage place. I mean, I just want the same standards applied to everyone, you know? I'm like, if it's fandom, there are emotional reactions. There are lines that shouldn't be crossed. But I mean, if you're gonna say, well, it's purely emotional why the Colts fans booed Andrew Luck, then use the same thing when Philadelphia boos their starting quarterback, or when some other team is booing something they shouldn't be.
Did you see Adam Schefter's tweet, by the way?
Which one?
Oh, my goodness. So, obviously, he's the one who broke the news that Andrew Luck was retiring, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple minutes after, or it was probably after the press conference, Andrew Luck said he expected to tell his teammates that he was retiring Sunday before his timeline got moved up.
Yeah. Yikes. They were talking about it on the Levitard show, and I guess Stu Gatz was making a joke and saying, you know, Andrew Luck didn't know he was going to retire. Schefter reported, and he just had to go right into it.
It's just such an unreal tweet. Before his timeline got moved up. Hey, Adam, do me a favor.
Just put oops
at the
end of that.
Remind me how the timeline got moved up. Please explain that to me. How did his timeline get moved up?
Just put, ooh, sorry. the end of the tweet.
Oh, awkward. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I mean, I mean, obviously, as a football fan, it's hard not to appreciate all the insider information Adam Schefter has provided the people over the years, as he's kind of been the number one insider for the National Football League. But Oh, my goodness. That's a bad look for Shefty, isn't
it? Yeah.
That's a bad look for Shefty.
Yeah, but, I mean, what is he going to do with that? I mean, in his case, I feel like he has to kind of put it out there because if you know, it's eventually going to trickle down and someone else is going to find out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I get it. If Andrew Luck was going to announce it after the preseason game, it'd be a little different. But, I mean, he had the information. I mean, he had to go with it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, Connor. I guess I didn't think about it that way. So what we're going to do now is we'll hit our first break. And when we come back, we're going to kind of expand this conversation. We're going to stick with Andrew Luck, obviously his retirement being the big news story of the day. So we're going to take a broader look and we're going to talk about what this means for the Indianapolis Colts at large this season. Can they still have success? Can they still make the playoffs with Andrew Luck? We will give you those answers next. Don't go anywhere. AM 870 WKAR's Current Sports, Jack Kerwin and Pharrell Martin. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I just want to say this. Just pure heat from Connor Mathis on the D-rolls, the buttons going into commercials, buttons coming back from commercials. This song, what a throwback to my high school days. Mac Miller, one of my favorite rappers. Rest in peace, obviously. Man, I feel like Al. I'm talking about the music that's being played on the show as opposed to the sports that I'm supposed to talk about here. Wow.
Yeah, look at that.
I think it's this chair. This chair has.
Oh, this chair, you know,
on.
It screws up your spell. It screws up your pronunciation.
Yeah.
You can't say certain words.
Makes you care more about hip-hop.
You get a sudden appreciation of music.
Yeah.
I mean, mind altering.
That's what's going on there. So anyway, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you got thoughts on Andrew Luck, I know you guys are out there in listener land. Please call in. Give us a call. We'll put you on the air. We'll give you your platform to give your spiel on the Andrew Luck news. But for now, we're going to shift the discussion a little bit here. What does the Luck retirement mean for the Indianapolis Colts? Obviously, Jacoby Brissett, who found out in a hilarious fashion that he was going to become the starting quarterback.
I was about to ask you, did you see the video
goodness.
Of Luck going up and whispering to him? His face just kind of shifted completely.
Absolutely electric. Absolutely electric. Do you think there was an element of fear in that from Jacoby Brissett that it's like...
You know, I don't think so because, again, you get to the NFL. You're a back. He's filled in for Tom Brady before.
No, I understand.
He's filled in for Tom Brady. I feel like it's not an element of fear. It's just kind of, oh, damn, it's this year I'm going to be in?
It's just like the entire weight, the entire magnitude of, no, you are now the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not around anymore.
Exactly.
That's got to be very sobering if you're Jacoby Brissett. But I don't know about you, Connor. I actually, as far as backup quarterbacks go, there aren't very many that I feel comfortable with giving an extended look to if my quarterback were to go down. Like, if the Detroit Lions, if Matthew Stafford sustains an injury, I don't know who their backup's going to be, whether it's Tom Savage, whether it's Josh Johnson, or who's the other guy for the Lions? Who's their other backup quarterback?
You get Dolphins legend David Fails.
So,
preseason Dolphins
legend,
if anything
happens to Matthew Stafford, I mean, it's over. The Lions don't have a hope of winning any of the games that he misses, right? And I think that's true for a lot of teams in the NFL where, you know, you just can't have a whole lot of confidence in your backup to kind of push the thing forward while your starter is out. But Jacoby Brissett is actually one of very few backup quarterbacks in the NFL that I actually like, that I think there might be a little bit more to, that maybe would have gotten a starting gig down the road. And maybe that's a bit of an overreaction to, you know, how good he looked when he was in New England, you know, filling in for Tom Brady after Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt during the whole Deflategate 4-game suspension fiasco. But Jacoby Brissett looked like a serviceable, at a minimum, game manager, right? And he's been in the league for a few years since then now. I think he might have a little bit more to give this season. And you said to me that Jacoby Brissett, with the rest of that roster, can win them 8 games this season by himself.
I think given his situation, he is by and large, a game manager. I mean, the closest thing we have to him on like a complete season is the 2017 year, but I won't really hold that necessarily against him too much. That team was pretty weak from the Colts standpoint. That team was basically, if Andrew Luck were on that team, that would have been Andrew Luck's LeBron and Cleveland moment.
They've effectively built a defense since
they've done a really good job building a defense. I mean, they brought in some wide receivers. A lot of the moves they've made, it's kind of just given a little bit more. But, you know, in 2017, Brissett threw for 3,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So again, he's an average numbers again, but not surrounded by a really good team. This year, I think he has a pretty good team still. And I think if he just kind of stays within where he's used to, at least what he's shown in the NFL of just being that game manager, not trying to do too much, I feel like they could win up to eight games. I mean, you never know with how the other teams break. Someone else could have a catastrophic injury and open the door. But you know, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm not too distraught that Brissett is your quarterback for this season. By no means is he on Andrew Luck's level. It remains to be seen. if he's a top 15 quarterback. But
if he's even a starter.
If he's even a starter, it remains to be seen.
I agree.
It remains to be seen. But I mean, you know, I give him a decent chance to at least be average, at least be average and kind of be a transitional quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I agree with that for the most part. You know, I would be surprised if Jacoby Brissett is the long-term solution in Indianapolis, because this news hits you out of nowhere and you've already fielded a pretty good team around what was supposed to be Andrew Luck. You would imagine they're going to invest in a quarterback again pretty soon. So wouldn't surprise me if, you know, this is a year, maybe 2 year, kind of a bridge quarterback deal for Jacoby Brissett before he eventually gets traded, moves on, you know, whatever the case may be. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But I think the biggest winners here, Connor, and I know they lost their running back over the weekend in the preseason game, although I'm not sure how much they were going to get from Lamar Miller anyways, but the biggest winner in all of this has to be the Houston Texans. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, absolutely.
Deshaun Watson can throw the ball with his left hand the entire season, and they'll still win the division. It's absolutely wild to me. Who are the other two teams in that division? Isn't it Tampa and Tennessee?
No, it's Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Jacksonville and Tennessee. Okay. So, excuse me. So, I guess that's a little bit different because, you know, the Jaguars, I'm not ready to give up on the Jacksonville Jaguars yet for the season just because, you know, they gave Nick Foles way too much money, obviously, but their window is now. They have this great defense, and Nick Foles is going to offer them a real upgrade to what Blake Bortles could give them. So I'm not going to rule out Jacksonville having a really good season, but for me, I mean, this just puts Houston as the class of the AFC South, doesn't it? Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I just kind of went through the Colts' schedule for this season, and at least what I'm predicting for them, I think they're going to be in the 5-11, 6-10 range. But that is, I wouldn't say that's necessarily.
That sounds closer to what I would have predicted.
I wouldn't say that's necessarily on Jacoby Brissett or even the team. It's just their schedule is tough. You start the season against the Chargers. You then got, you know, you obviously have to play the Texans twice a year.
Okay, but if you want to play the Chargers, don't you want to play them at the beginning of the season? Isn't that the best case scenario? Because Melvin Gordon still doesn't have a contract, does he?
Melvin Gordon doesn't have a contract, but that defense is pretty, pretty good.
Yes,
I think
they're going to be
underrated defenses in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's still Philip Rivers. It's still Philip Rivers. And, you know, Mike Williams emerging at the end of last year. He's got Keenan Allen back and healthy. Hunter Henry coming back.
Which Mike Williams?
The Clemson guy.
Clemson, Mike
Clemson
Williams?
Guy.
Okay, yeah. So, there have only been 17 different receivers named Mike
at least
Williams
minimum
over the past
17.
Decade.
But, you know, they open up against the Chargers. They also have to play the Chiefs really early on the season. They do have a bit of a reprieve. They take on the Titans and the Raiders and the Titans. I don't know about you. I've seen a couple of their preseason games. It's kind of frightening to me that Ryan Tannehill looks better than Marcus Mariota.
So I mean, he's awful.
The Titans played the Titans twice. So I mean, that's two very winnable matchups. They play the Raiders early on. That's a very winnable matchup in
you
my mind.
Win that one.
They play the Dolphins, who are tanking for Tua. So that's a win.
It won't happen. You're going to get stuck with Fromm.
Oh no, we're going to get Fromm.
No. You're going to get stuck with Felipe Franks.
Felipe Franks is not going in the first round. But no, I'm just looking at their schedule. They have a relatively tough schedule, and then they end the year against the Panthers, against the Saints. They just have a real tough go at it, and I don't see, barring a huge step up with Brissett, or maybe that defense kicks it up to the next level, It wouldn't shock me if they were in, you know, 5-11, 6-10. Which, if you're the Colts, is that really the worst thing? I mean, you get a that's enough for a relatively high pick in next year's draft.
One of the three quarterbacks might fall to you at that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
no.
Jacob Herbert could be there for you.
And you also never know which quarterbacks are going to climb in this year's draft. I'm pretty high on Utah State's quarterback. Obviously, I don't know if he's a first rounder, but I mean, he's still pretty talented.
Remind me what's his name?
I believe it's Jordan Love.
I think that's Jordan Love. Yep,
Jordan Love. Yep. I think if my hot take of Oklahoma, you know, turning Mr. Hurts around, maybe Hurts jumps into that conversation.
No chance. Okay. Jalen Hurts is a first round quarterback.
We'll see. We'll see.
Oh my goodness, Connor!
We'll see.
You are driving me crazy.
We'll see.
With the Jalen Hurts hype train. I can't.
It's not the Jalen Hurts hype train. It's the Lincoln Riley hype train.
That's a lot more fair. But I mean, all these people talking about Jalen Hurts revitalizing his career in Oklahoma. It's almost like they haven't seen Jalen Hurts play quarterback the last several years.
My faith in Mr. Lincoln Riley, and if he turns Jalen Hurts around, then he could put me in at quarterback in Oklahoma. I would lead them to the playoff.
At that point, he's the best young offensive mind in football.
He's the best quarterback whisperer in the last 10, 15 years, if he turns that around. But back to the Colts.
Yeah, back to the Colts. That's really what we're talking about here. No, I think 5-11 and 6-10 is more of where I would have pegged him to be, just because, you know, Andrew Luck's worth more than three games. Quarterback play is everything in the NFL, and I would have pegged Indianapolis to probably be about an 11-5 team this season had Luck played. I can't imagine losing Luck is only about a three game setback, if you will, for the Indianapolis Colts. So 5-11, 6-10 in a transitional year sounds about right for me. How tough has that got to be if you're Frank Reich? You know, you had such a good year, and wasn't last year his first year as coach of the Colts?
Yep.
And pretty impressive for him, pretty good year.
Yeah.
You know, seemed to have really elevated the team past what Chuck Pagano was able to do there, and now you lose your franchise quarterback.
Well, the good news for him is you had that good year, so you already have a little bit of clout built up with your fans, and with, more importantly, with the team itself, the ownership group and those people. So if he has a down year this year, I think he has a little bit more wiggle room. But I mean, also, I think significant, the fact that we're all, the media, the NFL, that we're all kind of going to lower our expectations of what the Indianapolis Colts can do this season is going to be helpful in the long run. Because if by some stretch of the imagination they go 8-9 or maybe 9-7, then all of a sudden Frank Reich's looking great, because, you know, he took a team that just lost their franchise quarterback, and, you know, maybe even if they don't qualify for the playoffs, if they're like one of those teams that just misses out, it looks good on him. So I think he's in a good spot. Still, it stinks that you lose your franchise quarterback, yes, but from his perspective, either this year people are going to probably give you a pass on saying, oh, you lost your franchise quarterback and you're going to get a high draft pick and, you know, have fun rebuilding over the next year and just come back stronger. Or you surprise people, and then people are like, well, wow, he can really coach up a team. He doesn't necessarily need all the pieces there. Imagine what he can do when he gets his franchise quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good point. And, you know, for me, I guess I hope he just doesn't get the Lovie Smith treatment that he got in Tampa Bay moving forward.
That was wrong.
And I'm not sitting here telling you that I think Lovie Smith is like a great is a great coach by any means anymore. I mean, I think he's a pretty good defensive mind. Never really bothered to develop an offense in his time in Chicago, which was obviously
he didn't need to.
Well, but I mean, if they wanted to win the Super Bowl, it probably would have helped to have had an offense, Connor.
It also hurt him a bit that they faced the, you know, prime Peyton Manning. But you know, that's another discussion.
Peyton Manning always choked in the playoffs, but he didn't choke against the Bears.
No, not in that Super Bowl. He wanted that ring.
Yep, no kidding. But I mean, I just going back to Lovie Smith, I just always thought it was tough for him that I think he only spent 2 years in Tampa, if I'm not mistaken.
He got a raw deal.
Yeah,
in Tampa.
And I mean, he had Jason Campbell as his quarterback. What are you supposed to do with that? So for me, I just hope, I guess, for Frank Reich's sake, that he's able to, you know, kind of develop another quarterback and get another franchise quarterback before his time runs out in Indianapolis, so we can find out if he can really coach. You know, because year one was pretty impressive with Andrew Luck. I don't believe his career in Indianapolis should go to hell just because Andrew Luck steps away from the game. What I want to do now is we'll hit our final break. When we come back, we will shift to college football. Yes, it is another day of wall-to-wall football talk. I mean, it's week one in college football now, beautiful people. We've passed week zero. We've got some games in the books, more games on tap this week. So, I mean, what the hell else would we talk about, Connor? Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we're going to give you our college football playoff predictions and some predictions for Michigan State. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. About three quarters of the way through the hour for you. About 13 minutes left in the show. And we're going to shift. If you still have thoughts on Andrew Luck, please give us a call, 517-355-WKR. That's 517-355-9527. We'd love to hear your thoughts. It's a listener-driven program. But for now, we are going to shift gears to college football. We're going to give you our playoff predictions, I guess. Is that what this says here, Connor? You were prepping the show sheet for me. College football playoffs, I presume you just want us to get our playoff predictions out there. And then what we think is going to be on the horizon for Michigan State as well. So, you know, kind of a good way to wind down here, because this will be at least my last time hosting the show for you before Michigan State's able to put some film out there. So, starting off, college football playoff predictions, Connor. You know, any way you look at it, there's really at most two spots that are up for grabs in the college football playoff, right? Because you presume Alabama and Clemson will both be in. I don't believe Alabama has missed the playoffs since its inception in 2014. I think Clemson may have only missed it once. I think the first year of the playoff was the only time Clemson missed it. I mean, those are the two most dominant programs. They're the class of college football right now, so it would be crazy for me not to include either of them, especially on the basis that Clemson's in the ACC, and they're not going to really be challenged all season. I think, don't they only have like one ranked team on their schedule right now? I mean, it's a joke.
The ACC is a little bit weaker than it has been in the last couple of years. A lot of programs kind of hitting the rebuild button.
Absolutely. Lamar Jackson's not at Louisville anymore. Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston aren't at Florida State anymore.
And even some of those, what we think of like the next tier down the ACC.
North Carolina,
the Virginia Techs. Yeah. Miami, Virginia Tech had a huge inside turmoil inside of that locker room. They had a lot of guys like giving up on the season last year. So I think they're kind of in a little bit of a reset mode, along with the rest of the ACC. So, I mean, it's pretty much Clemson's to lose. Clemson, I think, would still get in the playoff with two losses. But, I mean, they should not lose two games.
Do you think Clemson would get in with two losses?
I think so.
I mean, that would be embarrassing.
It would be.
Where would they lose? Where would they slip up twice on that schedule?
I don't know. I'm just saying that I think they could do it, but there's no reason they shouldn't enter undefeated.
I would have to take back every nice thing I've said about my son Trevor Lawrence from last season, that he, when it's all said and done, he will be the best college football quarterback that I've ever seen. I want him to go to the Lions in 2 years. I want the Lions to institute a 2-year tanking plan so that Trevor Lawrence comes in and amends all of our woes, all of the woes that I've experienced in the 21 years that I've walked this earth watching Detroit Lions football. Trevor Lawrence could be the answer to all of that, Connor. And if they lose two games this year, then I'm going to have to back up on these predictions. But anyway, college football playoffs for me, obviously, I have Alabama and Clemson. I also believe that Georgia will get in, so you will have two SEC teams this season. And I've spoken before, I'm kind of too far down the rabbit hole at this point to not pick them. So Texas is my fourth team. What say you, my friend?
I've got Clemson at one, Georgia at two, Bama at three, and Oklahoma at four. I'm also too far down the rabbit hole on the Lincoln Riley hype train. I think realistically Oklahoma, there are maybe two games this season that they have a chance of losing.
One being to Texas,
and then
the other one being to Texas in the Big 12 championship.
No. I'm more fearful of Iowa State, because you never know with them. They're always hungry for an upset. So those are my. I think there's a very good chance OU goes in undefeated as well, or with one loss. But I think you'll have a Clemson Georgia finale.
So you think Ohio State gets, or I'm sorry, the Big Ten gets spurned again?
I have some takes on the Big Ten, but I want you to give your Michigan State prediction first.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough. Michigan State prediction, obviously they run a gauntlet of a schedule this season. Not quite as bad as what we're seeing from Michigan this year. I would say Michigan has even a tougher schedule, bringing in Notre Dame when MSU's toughest out-of-conference opponent is the Arizona State Sun Devils and Herm Edwards, who they lost to last season. They had no business losing that game, yet here they were.
Squirrely team.
So for me, first off, I do believe Michigan State will start off 5-0. I think they're going to beat Arizona State. I think they'll win at Northwestern, even though they've lost the last several years, and Indiana as well. So I believe they will be undefeated going to the Shoe. I don't see them winning that game. I think they will beat Penn State at home. Let's see. Wisconsin and Camp Randall. That's a toss-up because I think MSU is going to field a better team than Wisconsin this season. I haven't seen anything from Jack Cohn yet, but we'll see. I mean, obviously, Wisconsin's got home field advantage. The last time they faced Wisconsin, I believe, was my freshman season, and they lost like 30-6.
That was the infamous
3-9 fiasco.
There it is.
Disaster of a season that was. So, Wisconsin over Michigan State there last time, but. Okay, let me really think about this here. So I'm going to have them at 5-1. They're going to lose in the shoe. I'm going to say they're going to lose at Wisconsin too, 5-2. They're going to come back after the bye. They're going to beat Penn State because James Franklin's a boob. They're going to beat Illinois. I think they're beating Michigan this year too, Connor. I got to be really honest with you. I just think they're going to bounce back. I think the coaching staff is going to bounce back, and I just think Michigan, I don't think this plays to either team's advantage that the game is so late this year that it's the middle of November that they play each other, but I think it works more to Michigan State's advantage just by virtue of their schedule is a little bit easier than Michigan's. It's a little bit less of a gauntlet than what Michigan is going to see this year, and they have the two bye weeks sandwiched in there. They only play Illinois before Michigan. Otherwise, they're coming off a bye week there, so I think Michigan State will get the job done against Michigan, so I guess I have them going 10-2 this season because they're going to finish off with Rutgers and Maryland. I think they'll win both of those games. So I have losses successively to Ohio State and Wisconsin on the road. I think they'll win all their other games. What say you, my friend?
I think they're going to follow the D'Antonio trend of falling in embarrassing year with a good year.
Dirty to me, Connor.
Okay, here we go. I believe that Michigan State, when it's all said and done at the end of this year, will be competing for either a Rose Bowl spot or a playoff spot.
Oh, wow. Connor Mathis letting the hot takes fly here. I wish I had like a sound effect where I could do like a gasping crowd here. Or, bro, what are you talking about, man, from Russell Westbrook? I mean, absolutely hot take there from Connor, but I kind of dig it. And you know what? This is probably D'Antonio's last best chance to win the Big Ten, if we're being honest. He's returning a defense. You know, he's returning, what, 9 of 11 starters on defense, 8 of 11 starters, whatever the case may be. They're going to be another top unit in the nation. And I don't know how much longer Coach D's got at Michigan State, but, you know, he's got a solidified quarterback in Brian Lewerke, who I think will bounce back from a tough season last year where he was riddled with injury. And I think it's very possible. I think, although MSU has, you know, a very difficult schedule, I would still say in some ways the schedule is still advantageous to them. You know, they go to the shoe. They go to the Big House, sure. But they go to the shoe earlier in the season before weather will be a real factor. It's the beginning of October. And also, if you're facing a first-year head coach in Ryan Day, I would want to face him a little bit earlier in the season as opposed to later in the season. You know, if they're going through some growing pains as a team, adjusting from the Urban Meyer era, I think it would be better to catch him early in the season. And then as it pertains to Michigan, you know, as I mentioned, Michigan runs a gauntlet of a schedule this season. They face two teams in Army and Notre Dame out of conference. Army won 11 games last season, and they returned like 19 of 20, 22 starters, something crazy like that. And Notre Dame was in a New Year's Six Bowl last year. You know, they bring in both of those teams out of conference, not to mention, you know, crossover games at Wisconsin. They face Iowa at home. That's never a fun team to play against, even if it's a team that Michigan will probably beat, if we're being honest. That doesn't mean that's going to be a fun game for the Wolverines. So, you know, Michigan runs such a gauntlet of a schedule. It's advantageous that the Spartans face them later on in the season. They're going to be more tired. They're going to be more worn down. I just think that kind of works out in Michigan's favor. What are your thoughts?
I think like you said, MSU has better chance to capitalize on the, you know, better schedule overall. I mean, last 5 weeks of the season, if you're Michigan, you have to play Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State. That's brutal in my mind. Even with your little bye week games of, you know, you got Maryland in there and you got Indiana in there, but I mean, come on, that's just rough. And especially since Michigan backloaded it. They backloaded the schedule's backloaded for them. And even before they hit that gauntlet towards the tail end, you got to take on Iowa, which as we know, they're upset.
It's not a fun team.
Not a fun team.
No, you got Army week two, and then you hit a bye week, and then you're going to Wisconsin. Their schedule does get going.
I'm a little less concerned for Michigan State on Army because Army's
off. Michigan on Army. Michigan.
Oh, Michigan on Army. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit less nervous for Michigan because Army's offense is simplistic enough that if you just get it stopped, I mean, mean, I think Michigan should be able to handle Army. It might not be the, you know, 70-10 blowout that I think a lot of people are pegging it for, but I don't see it being a, you know, a real close game down the stretch. It might be one of those games where it's like in the first half we're like, oh, look at that, Army's tied with Michigan.
No, I pretty much agree with that. I think that game could have Michigan fans nervous in the first half.
Yeah,
I think if last year's Michigan team would have faced Army, they would have blown them out of the water. But you are losing some. So obviously, Army runs what they run the triple option, just like all the service academies do. Right? They only pass the ball four or five times.
They run a variation of the triple option. Right. They have a little bit more running than Navy's option, and Air Force is a little bit more passing. The way I always say it is, Navy plays football like it's the 50s. Army plays football like it's the 60s, and Air Force has evolved into the 70s.
Ah, there you go. I kind of like that, actually. But for me, them losing Rashawn Gary, them losing Chase Winovich, them losing Devin Bush, you know, key contributors in the front seven, could hurt their ability to stop a triple option team, especially early on before they can make some adjustments. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that game is close early on and then Michigan's able to pull away later. You seem to be sleeping on Wisconsin a little bit more than I am for that game in Camp Randall. I think Michigan could very easily lose that game.
I'm just not sold. The last couple of years, Alex Hornbrook was supposed to be your good quarterback and you're supposed to do all these wonderful things out west. I'm just not sold on Wisconsin, to be honest with you, because it seems like every time they go east with the 3-9 year, they seem to lay an egg. So I'm not super high on Wisconsin. They could very easily prove me wrong. I mean, I feel like Michigan State was, especially with Michigan State, I feel like there's like almost a mini rivalry from the early 2010s where it was back and forth between Wisconsin and Michigan State for a little bit.
Connor, I'm talking about Wisconsin and Michigan.
I'm saying Wisconsin can surprise me in that regard against Michigan State, not so much against Michigan.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think they have a little bit of a. I think there might be a little bit of head games there when they play Michigan.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I guess that's fair. As we come up on just 45 seconds left in the show here, we'll close it out for you. I think that's a fair point. My only point was, I agree with you that Michigan's schedule is backloaded, but it's not a whole lot easier at the beginning of the season. So, you know, for me, I think the schedule more than anything bars Michigan from being a real contender in the Big Ten.
I would agree with that.
So, you know, as we close out the show, I just wanted to thank everyone for listening and rocking with us the last 3 days. It's been a lot of fun. Always is whenever we get to step in for Al. Connor, thank you so much for helping me get through these last 3 days. Al will be back in tomorrow. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Thanks so much for tuning in. Be easy, people.